So a very warm welcome to you this morning. It's great to see you here. Welcome if you're watching online as well. We have one or two short notices to give out. This is the first one. If you're into strawberries, then down at St. Andrew's from 5 o'clock this evening, you can go down and get some free strawberries and whatever goes with it. So do go if you'd like to. Next Sunday is a special Sunday for us because our mission partners, Mikey and Bethany, who run that neonatal hospital in Liberia, they're coming here to share with us some of their work, and that will be followed by a shared lunch. But you don't have to cook for it. You can shop for it, but not cook, because it's a cold buffet for next Sunday, please. So whatever your imagination can cook up, bring it along. During the service, we're going to sing a song that we may not have sung for some time. This may be very familiar to you, but we're going to practice it now. Derek's going to play and we'll sing it through as we sit, just to familiarise ourselves with it again. Thank you, Derek. Have I got this right, Derek? We do verse 1 and verse 2, then the chorus, then wish. 3 and 4, and then the chorus again.
If you wish.
Shall we do that?
That's what's not written here, but yeah, I'll do that.
That's what's written here, though. That's the problem.
I'll work on that next time.
Okay. So let's begin our service now with our theme for today, as we look again at the letter to Colossians, which we're working our way through. The theme is on mission together. So would you please stand and join in the responses in the white type. Grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. You are the God of my salvation. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I hope all the day long. O my God, in you I trust. Remember, Lord, your compassion and love, for they are from everlasting. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul, O my God, in you I trust. And our first hymn is a prayer for the Holy Spirit, the breath of life, to come and fill us and the church. Please be seated. As we think this morning of God's call to us to join in his mission in the world, we're going to listen to the call of one particular person that Andrew's going to read to us.
The first reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 6. It may be found on page 690 of the Church Bibles. Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robes filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they called to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe is me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, Here am I. Send me. This is the word of the Lord.
Here am I. Send me. And this next song says really just that. Let me be the answer that you're looking for, Lord. Let's stand to sing. I, the Lord of sea and sky. Here I am, Lord. I've heard you calling.
Thank you.
seated for a time of confession together as we seek God's forgiveness. Please respond in the words in white. Wash me thoroughly from my wickedness and cleanse me from my sin. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Make me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. May the God of love and power forgive us and free us from our sins, heal and strengthen us by his Spirit, and raise us to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And we say together the Collect for Grace. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you that you have brought us safely to the beginning of this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger. Order us in all our doings and guide me to do always what is righteous in your sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Part of God's calling to us all as Christians is to be a channel of his peace as we go about our daily lives. Let's sing this as a prayer while we remain seated. Let's stand to sing Longing for Light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He also said, you are the light of the world. So let's pray to be that as we sing this hymn together. Be seated for our reading from the New Testament, and Andrew is going to come and read to us.
The New Testament reading is taken from Colossians and may be found on page 1184 of the Church Bibles. Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 through 18. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you know how to answer everyone. Tychicus will tell you about all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. I'm sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he might encourage you, encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, one of our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that has happened here. My fellow prisoner, Articus, sends his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justus, also sends his greetings. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have provided a comfort to me. Ephras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is hard, working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hippias. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Peter's going to come now and speak to us.
Lord, take my words and our thoughts, and may all help us to grow closer to you and equip us for the week ahead, for Jesus' sake. Amen. If you have got a church Bible within reach, I would urge you to make sure that you have got it open at page 1184, and a little later on, you will find it helpful to be looking at those words that we've just had read to us. In a way, we have been on a mission together. As we have worked our way through Colossians, looking at all that Paul wrote to that particular church which we have received, and yes, I hope that being on that mission, and we have now reached the end of the mission. Yes, if you've been with us, we've got there. This is the last bit of that particular mission. And I hope that you've managed to get something out of it. I hope that it's helped you also to know how to give something. Which sort of person are you? Here's a question for all of us. Am I here for what I can get out of it, or am I here for what I can give to it? And that's not just in the church, but it covers everything from our career to a queue at the supermarket. Now, at my school, I'm quite clear, the focus at my school was about showing pupils what they could get, not what they could give. Basically, the advice was, find something you enjoy doing and then persuade someone to pay you for it, preferably pay you well. My interview with the careers master was fairly brief and fairly straightforward. He said, "You do maths, don't you?" "Yes, sir." "Well, if you don't get to university, you can go into banking or accountancy. End of careers advice." I'm not sure that my university careers advice was much better. In the end, of course, I found my own mission through life. Perhaps a mission to give teenagers a good education and to get a paycheck at the end of each month. Actually, I wonder if the getting was generally more important than the giving. I hope not, but maybe. Recently, I've come from being part of two particular missions. And, you know, missions are a bit like that. You think, actually, am I that person at the end, struggling to do my bit, struggling to reach up to the next person? Am I that person in the middle, holding on to something higher and at the same time trying to reach to those who are struggling? Am I that guy at the top saying, "Come on, you can do it," or the other guy standing just behind him thinking, "Come on, what's the problem I've got here?" Not very helpful, perhaps, but somewhere in the midst of all that, it takes all those types to fulfill the mission. The first mission that I guess I've come from was actually being part of the church presence at the Royal Three Counties Show. There you are, there's the map of the showground, and you can see where we were. Actually, you probably can't, it's a little bit small, but if you look at the bottom left-hand corner, there it is, a little bit bigger. And in the top right-hand corner of that particular picture, yes, there is the church tent, which people could visit and where they could get a really good panini and cup of coffee. You'll notice that we've got a little musical note just to the left of it. And we had lots of primary schools and secondary schools bringing their choirs to sing at the side of the church tent. A Christian witness within that showground. But not just in that part of the showground. We had chaplains who were assigned particular areas, and they would go and talk to the stallholders, the farmers, the exhibitors, and so on around the showground. So we had a Christian presence throughout the show. And that was a mission that perhaps none of us could have done on our own, and none of us could have done all of it. But because we worked together, and my part was a very minor part, all I had to do was make sure that those who were coming to do the real work had the appropriate armbands, wristbands, to enable them to get into the show. Sometimes the small parts matter, because if they hadn't got the wristband, they couldn't get in, and if they couldn't get in, they couldn't do their part of the mission. So that was one mission fairly recently. And the other mission, well, you know all about the other mission that many of us here have been involved in, and that, of course, was Life Path Malvern. That week at Great Malvern Priory, where we had primary school children coming for a whole day, and we taught them about the history of the priory, we taught them about the life of the monks who lived there all those years ago. And again, it was not a thing that any one person could do on their own. In fact, there were quite a lot of us who dressed up as monks for the week and did our part of that mission. No one person can do it, but as a team, these things are possible. And then, of course, there is the ongoing mission here at All Saints, and I guess for me out there at the food bank, and thank you to those of you who do support the work of the food bank. But it does bring us on to two questions for each and every one of us. The first question is simply this: what's my mission? And then, if we think we know what our mission is, the second question is, what's my part in that mission? Because none of us can do everything. But the trouble is that when we know the answers to what's my mission, we begin to start making excuses. Well, there's nothing new there. Moses met with God, and he knew that his mission was to go and get the Hebrews out of Egypt. But he had an excuse. He said, they won't listen to me. I'm not eloquent enough. And God said, don't worry, I'll give you Aaron to go with you. Then later on there was Gideon. And after the angel appeared to Gideon and told him to go and do something, Gideon says, hang on, I'm the least in my family, and my family is the weakest in the smallest tribe of Israel. And God said, don't worry, go in this strength that I will give you. And of course, Gideon did. And then there was Saul, who was called to be king. And at the critical moment when he was about to be anointed, they couldn't find him. The Bible tells us that he was hiding amongst the baggage. Yep, when we get called to a bit of mission, it's very easy to be hiding in the background. And we do make these excuses. Look at Jeremiah. God says, go and tell my people Israel. And Jeremiah says, oh, not me, I'm too young. Of course, my excuse is I'm too old. But that was Jeremiah, too young to go. And God says, I'm sending you anyway. Don't say I'm too young. I'll give you the words, just get on with it. And then there was Jonah. He knew very clearly what his mission was. He was to go to Nineveh. So what did he do? He gets on a boat and goes the other way. And God had to turn him round. And then we read Isaiah earlier. Isaiah says, hey, look, I'm a sinner. I'm not good enough. I can't do it. And God says, you're forgiven. Your sin is atoned for. And that message is a message for each one of us too. Here's the good news, folks. Our sin has been atoned for through Jesus Christ. And what happened? Isaiah, at the end of that reading that we had, he hears God speaking and he's broken and he says, Lord, here am I, send me. Now, if you're anything like me, you get as far as, Lord, here am I, but then you want to finish it off, send someone else. We all have our excuses. But the good news is that we are never sent on these missions alone. We're never sent to do it all. We need to be part of a team, and we do our bit within it. Jesus, when he sent out the disciples, he sent them out two by two. The church in Jerusalem heard that there was a new church in Antioch, and they said, hey, we better send someone to look after that lot and make sure they've got the message correct and that they know the real truth about Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection, and about God's plan for them. So they send Barnabas. And Barnabas, what a name, meaning son of encouragement. Wouldn't you like to be known as the encourager? So Barnabas goes to Antioch and he sees the need and he says, this is a mission, I can't do it on my own. So before he gets stuck in at Antioch, he goes off to Tarsus, he finds Paul, he brings Paul back, and Paul and Barnabas then get stuck in and work with the church at Antioch, and together they built that church, and it was from there that they went off on the first missionary journey that we read all about in the book of Acts. Later they had a bit of a falling out, because when they were about to go on a second journey round the churches to strengthen them, Barnabas wanted to take John Mark. John Mark had fallen away halfway through the first missionary trip, and Paul said, hey, no, we can't take him. He dropped out. He hadn't got that stickability. And in the end, Barnabas went off with John Mark, and Paul went off with Silas. But clearly there was a reconciliation later, because in this reading that we've just had, John Mark comes up in verse 10. The cousin Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, he's one of the few Jews who are there with Paul while he's in prison. So there was clearly a reconciliation. No one does everything. And if we look at the mission tasks which are laid out right at the end of this letter to the Colossians, well, there are some tasks that are for all of us, that are ongoing, that will be with us through, if you like, to the end of our life on earth. And the first one that Paul comes up with is that we are all called to pray. Verses 2 to 4, Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us, that God may open a door for us. Pray that I may proclaim. Support one another in prayer. And that's something for all of us, all the time, regularly. And then something else that comes in verse 5, something that's there for all of us. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders, and make the most of every opportunity. Be wise and use the opportunities that God gives you. And they'll be different from the opportunities that God gives me, or God gives the person sitting behind you, next to you. Yes, of course. But we will all have opportunities to be wise. And if we're going to be wise, verse 6 says this, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So we are all called to have salted conversation. Don't worry, you're allowed to say when you're asked a difficult question, I don't know, we'll have to ask the vicar. You're allowed to say we don't know, but we are all called to be prepared to give an answer. Even if it is only to say, but this I know, Jesus did rise from the dead. My sins have been forgiven. I can go on and find peace through all the difficulties. So if you like, those are bits of mission for all of us at all time. But what about specifically? What specifically is my part? What specifically is your part? And Paul talks about himself to start off with, and he says, I'm clearly here to proclaim, verse 4, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. We are called to proclaim the good news. Let's never forget that. We're not all going to proclaim it by standing up at the front of a church or getting into a pulpit or even doing a podcast, but in a quiet way, we can all be known as followers of Jesus. And specifically, some people are called to proclaim regularly, faithfully, day in, day out, week in, week out, the good news of Jesus. And of course, beyond that, we go on to read in verse 7 about Tychicus. He was sent as a messenger. Paul describes him as a dear brother, a faithful minister and fellow servant. He was the messenger sent from Paul to Colossae with the message. Yes, some of us are messengers. And the message may be very simple. It may be, would you like to come to church with me on Sunday? Do you know that there's a toddler group here on Thursday? Bring your toddler and come to that. Do you know it's messy church this week? It isn't this week, but you know what I mean. When it's messy church, maybe your message is simply to the appropriate person. Come. Come and see what it's like. Even if it's come down to St. Andrew's and have a strawberry with me. Some of us specifically will be good at that sort of message. And some of us, of course, like Tychicus, may be faithful ministers. Those are the pastors, the ones who notice where the need is, who get alongside other people. Let's be prepared to do that if that's our calling. All of that for Tychicus in verse 7. Moving on to verse 9, we know that Onesimus was a runaway slave. He had run away from his master Philemon. He'd ended up with Paul, and now he's being sent back. And he is described as a dear brother, and he's also described as a faithful servant. To whom are we servants? Are we prepared to be servants? I do hope so. Yes, we need to be servants, ready to serve within the ministry of the church, sometimes in ways that nobody else will notice. We've got candles lit at the front there. They work on oil. Do you know where the oil comes from? Somebody must buy it in and then top it up. And you look at the altar rail there and it's all bright and shiny. Somebody must clean it. I could go through a whole list of things that happen to make the church work. And most of us probably don't know who's doing them. Afterwards, there will be coffee. I have no idea who buys the coffee. I know who was making it this morning, and I know I'm looking forward to drinking it later. But you see, these tasks, we may not know, but we're all doing a little bit. And it works together. That's part of being a servant. And then there's Aristarchus. He gets his mention there as a companion in chains. It appears that Aristarchus was in prison with Paul. But there were the two of them, and they could comfort and strengthen each other. They could pray together, perhaps. So there's a calling, and some of us will be called at a particular season in our lives, just to be a companion. It may be a neighbor. It may be the person, you know, some of us are looking after elderly relatives. Some of us will just be a companion to people we meet on the road. But being a companion is a seriously important calling. And then, of course, verses 10 and 11, you can see there, verse 10, after Aristarchus has had his men, my fellow prisoner sends you his greetings, as does Mark, that's John Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, and Jesus called Justus. These are the fellow Jews, the comforters that are still with Paul. Just those few Jews, just those few of his own people amongst a foreign country. Let's be comforters to those around us. Supporters and comforters, very important. And then we get to Epaphras. Epaphras is there, and he's described as someone who is always praying for the Colossians. Yes, we're all called to pray generally, but there will be people within any ministry, within any congregation, who are called to be prayer warriors, who are called to really focus in prayer on what's going on at a particular season for a particular cause. Don't underestimate the importance of those great people who are called to be prayer warriors. And then, of course, Luke the doctor finally gets a mention. And, of course, he was really, I guess, not much more than a first aid worker. Medicine in those days was not as sophisticated as perhaps it is now. But what he knew, he was able to use to help. Whatever the work, whatever specifically you are called to do, perhaps you need to be praying, as I need to be praying, Lord, here am I, send me. And right at the end, the message specifically to Archippus, verse 17, see to it that you complete the work you have received in the Lord. Complete the work. Each one of us needs to be asking, okay, Lord, what's my part in the ministry in front of us? And if I know my part, give me the strength and the stickability to complete the work. Earlier on, we sang the words, revive us, Lord, is zeal abating? Equip your church to spread the light. Let's each one of us be prepared to keep going till we complete the work.
Amen to that. Now, Joanne's going to come and lead us in our intercessions. So let's turn to prayer and pray for the world. Thank you, Joanne.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you now with our prayers for our world. We pray for Tear Fund partners working with young people who have been traumatised by the ongoing conflict in the Ukraine. And Jesus, we lift to you today Katerina and Anastasia, who are both being helped through art and the paintings they have created. We thank you for the staff who are helping these young people process the trauma they have experienced. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray Tia Fund's prayer for the children of Guatemala. Father God, we lift up to you the precious children in Guatemala. We thank you that even before you formed them in the womb, you knew them. Each one of them is a gift, a reward from you. We pray that all those tiny new lives will get the start they need to live the full and fruitful life you have planned for them. Help us to play our part in caring for the children across the world. Keep them safe, healthy, and happy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. A prayer now for our world in the words of Graham Kendrick. We pray, shelter for fragile lives and cures for their ills. Work for the craftsmen, trade for their skills. Land for the dispossessed, rights for the weak. Voices to plead the cause of those who can't speak. Refuge from cruel wars, havens from fear, cities for sanctuary, freedoms to share. Peace to the killing fields, scorched earth to green, Christ for the bitterness, his cross for the pain. Rest for the ravaged earth, oceans and streams, plundered and poisoned, our future, our dreams. Lord, end this madness, carelessness, greed. Make us content with the things that we need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all education authorities and local councils in England that there will be sufficient funding available to provide free school meals for children throughout the 6 weeks of the summer holidays. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for Vanessa, who was baptised here at All Saints and who has now been ordained as a deacon, and for James and Adam, who have been ordained as priests. Lord Jesus, we ask that you continue to bless and guide them on their journey with you, their Lord and Saviour. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray now for those known to us who are suffering in body, mind, or spirit. And we silently lift them to you, Jesus, and ask that you will meet their needs at this time and pour your love, healing, strength, and peace upon them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And together we say the words on the screen. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Our closing hymn this morning is a plea that our Lord Jesus Christ will come again. Great is the darkness. Let's stand to sing.
Great is the darkness, the darkness we have.
Father, please accept these gifts as a token of our love for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please sit or kneel for the blessing. So now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon you and remain with you always. Amen.